20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Dan Kotick. My partner, as always, Chris Schimmel. Doing our best to survive the polar vortex of 2019. Chris, how are you handling the weather that I'm sure a vast majority of our listeners are trying to weather, to forgive the pun there?
Well, I woke up early to make sure my car worked before I got to work this morning. It just barely worked, and the brakes were frozen. So that took forever to get things going. So I heat up the car because I was like, I started going and then I realized my brakes were frozen. But luckily there was a small snowbank that I kind of crashed into. And that stopped me before I hit something serious. But yeah, today it was so cold that I read an article. People, experts were saying, do not breathe in too hard because it could burn your lungs. And I'm like, geez, winter is coming. Game of Thrones was not lying.
Right. No, exactly. Thankfully, I thought ahead and I'm taking a vacation day tomorrow, so I won't have to deal with the second day of it. But yeah, surviving today was a little bit rough. So however you're listening to us, hopefully you're staying warm. If you're listening to us from somewhere that's not affected by the polar vortex, I give you a very hearty screw you and welcome you to the podcast regardless. So today we want to talk about we're going to hit on the Super Bowl a little bit. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about with that. Not anything really Packers related, but when the Super Bowl comes around, no matter who you root for in the NFL, you kind of have to make a mention of it, I think. Before we get into that, though, Chris, kind of two main things to the Packers news-wise that have come down in the last day or so. With the coaching-wise, Matt LaFleur trying to fill out his coaching staff. The confirmed one is the new wide receivers coach, Alvis Whitted, as I hope is how you say that. The wide receivers coach from Colorado State, he was there for 7 years. The program at Colorado State, not the best, but they were averaging over 300 passing yards last season, so he's a guy that he has NFL experience. I think I saw 9 seasons in the NFL as a wide receiver. He seems like a guy that is at least forward-thinking with the passing game. And honestly, Chris, I don't know what you think about this. He could probably be one of the more crucial hires for this coaching staff because that was kind of one of the things last year was that butting of heads between the old wide receivers coach and Aaron Rodgers in that passing game. And a lot of people kind of pointed to that as an issue. So Alvis Whitted could be one of the bigger hires in this offseason.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You take a look at some of the studs that he's been able to coach up in college. You know, you take a look at 3 All-Americans I saw that he coached in college. You have, Michael Gallup. And I take a look at some of his numbers. You know, you take a look at in the last 2 years, 2,690 yards, 21 touchdowns. Then Rashard Higgins. You know, over 3,500 yards, 31 touchdowns. So, you know, 3 All-American studs. But, yeah, it's really big for the wide receivers coach because I feel that it's been a touchy topic for a while. I mean, you had in, 2015, Alex Van Pelt was both the quarterbacks coach and the wide receivers coach. They tried mm-hmm. that out. That didn't work. You know, then they got Luke Getsy, who's now back. And then they Edgar Bennett was gone. So, yeah, this is a huge crucial position, and it's going to be even more with these receivers having to get on page with Aaron Rodgers, especially during the scramble drill. And really, if Randall Cobb leaves too, they're going to need leadership from a guy who's had a lot of NFL experience. Even though Alvis Whitted didn't have a huge stellar career, his experience, and especially what he's done at Colorado State, should help out a lot, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, he's a guy that has experience coaching younger players. And you've got a wide receiver core that, you know, most of those guys are 2-3 years out of college. So, right. You know, they're basically just kind of trying to take the next step right now. And now you've got a guy that, you know, has experience with some of these younger players and hopefully can ease that transition a little bit. A couple of interesting notes about Alvis Whitted. You mentioned went to NC State. was actually a state championship sprinter as well and competed in the Olympic sprinting trials against guys like Michael Johnson and Carl Lewis back in the 90s. And then also I saw this on Twitter today. I forget who tweeted it out, one of the Packer accounts. Alvis Whitted actually had one reception for the Oakland Raiders in the famous Brett Favre game on Monday Night Football, the day after, or the game that was after his dad passed away. Alvis Whitted played in that game against the Packers. I think he had one catch for 8 yards. It was a little slant across the middle, and that was it. But just some interesting notes for Alvis.
Yeah, and then right after that catch, people thought, you know, someday that guy's going to coach the Packers wide receivers.
Someday that guy's going to be the linchpin of one of the most impressive quarterback offenses in the history of the NFL.
Right, and I liked what you said about him. You know, he's had experience in the pros. What he's done in college is good. I like that, you know, a hybrid coach, a guy who knows both the egos of the pros and then maturing young players and developing them. And I love the fact that you just talked about him as a track star, because, you know, you take a look at guys like Valdez Scantling, a guy who has a motor on him. Imagine him with this guy teaching him how to take more advantage of his speed. So I think so far everything, all the hires so far I've really liked. I haven't really seen anything that's a red flag at all. If anything, this one is, I have to admit, it surprised me, because you're like, this guy, Colorado State, what? But then also you look into it and you say, oh, wow.
It's been a coaching staff that's filled out with a lot of, I think I, somebody wrote this. They said, lacking in age, but, you know, full of potential and experience that, you know, can really, you know, there's a lot of potential with a lot of these younger coaches that are coming, or I shouldn't say younger, but guys that haven't had as much NFL experience.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I was talking with my cousin, and she's a huge sports fan, but she says some stuff that just makes me laugh. She said, you know how in order to be president, you have to be at least 35 years old. Well, there should be an age limit on how old you have to be a head coach in the NFL. Matt LaFleur, he's 39. He's too young. I'm like, you know, Sean McVay is like 32. She goes, that's too young. There should be an age limit. Like, come on. I know, understand if you want to be president, you have to be 35. But an age limit for being a head coach of a football team?
I think if anything, you should make an age limit for when you hit a certain age, you don't get to be a head coach anymore. Because there's some of those guys that stick around for years and years and years way after they deserve to really be in the league anymore.
I like this young blood coming in, you know, get something fresh instead of something that's stale.
Well, and so, I mean, it leaves the one position still open on this coaching staff is the special teams coordinator. And that position actually could be filled very soon, as Tom Silverstein's reporting that the Packers are focusing their position on Sean Menenga. He's currently the Vanderbilt special teams coordinator. He was an assistant special teams coach with Cleveland 7 years before that. And actually, before the Hugh Jackson era kind of got started, his special teams ranking very high, didn't rank below 15, was even ranked second in 2012, and has some familiarity with the current team, coached alongside Mike Pettine, obviously, and worked with Tremon Williams as well. So interested to see how that kind of progresses, but really outside of special teams now, that's the only open position left. And you could call that one too, Chris, like maybe the third most important one, or one that people are looking at the most in this offseason. You had offensive coordinator, special teams, and then you could maybe throw in this wide receivers coach, just because it kind of plays into the whole passing game of the offense as well. But special teams coordinator with Ron Zook the last couple of, and can we talk about how the hell Ron Zook was coaching the special teams of the NFC Pro Bowl team?
You know, I seriously don't. That just shows you, once again, Pro Bowl is so stupid. I mean, seriously. understand what he's done, how much money he had to pay to get on the field.
I mean,
I hope nobody paid for his plane ticket. I mean, come on. And the fact that that guy was still coaching at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Crazy. You know, I think I said in a previous podcast, a buddy and I were having a bet of who's going to get fired first, McCarthy or him. And my money was on him, so I lost. So I like that you brought up, you know, Sean, that guy, because you're saying, you know, how they rank second in special teams during a year. Hell, if they ranked 20th, that would have been so much better than what we've had. The Packers, even without Zook, this whole decade, I feel they haven't been that good at all. You know, if I was a special teams coach, I would say to Mason Crosby, Mason, you don't even need to come talk to me and ask me what to do. Kick the ball out of the end zone every single time unless it's an obvious onside, okay? Because nothing really works. You know what I mean? Whip kicks and all that. So hopefully this guy, if they get him, comes in and really shakes things up. Once again, you know, people think Vanderbilt, same thing like with Colorado State, like Vanderbilt. But, hey, anything is better than what we've had the last couple of years.
Exactly. So that's where we're at Packer-wise. One more game left in this 2018-2019 season, Chris. It doesn't involve the Packers, but it does involve all of us as NFL fans. And I thought it would be fun for you and I to go through some of the Pro Bowl, or excuse me, the Super Bowl prop bets. Obviously for entertainment purposes only, but if you're, you know, trying to make a buck or two against somebody that you're watching the game with on Sunday to say, you know, how long the national anthem is going to run or, you know, whatever, we'll give you some tips here. So, I mean, well, the first one, Chris, is just the overall spread. The stuff that I found was giving the New England Patriots 2 points going into the Super Bowl with an over-under total of 58. Where do you fall on the spread?
I would actually have to agree with you. I feel that as long as Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are on the field together, they should be favored in every single game they ever play, including preseason. Like every game, like there's, especially after the Super Bowl against Atlanta, you cannot bet against them. I find it absolutely crazy. So unfortunately, I mean, yes, I'm cheering for the Rams.
Right.
But just saying, if I had to bet my life, I would, of course, bet on the Patriots. So I have the Patriots, you know, 2 points you say is pretty good. I would say anything around there. I think it's going to be a close game because if you think about it, every time the Patriots are in a Super Bowl this century, it's been a good game. And it's always been a one-possession game. So I think it's going to be between 3 and 7 points.
Yeah, I think I saw they haven't blown anybody. They haven't won by more than 2 scores, I think.
Yeah, and they've never lost by more than 2 scores either.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, a great game. Right, always a great game. And I mean, really, 2 points, that's almost a pick'em game at that point. You know, I would agree the Patriots have to be favored in this game. Let's go to national anthem. Gladys Knight is singing the national anthem. The length over under 107 seconds. That's a minute 47 over under the length of Gladys Knight's national anthem.
Over.
You're over?
Over. When you ask me why, I don't know why. I'm just going over.
That's where the smart money is. I did a little bit of research into it. Billy Joel actually has the shortest anthem time with a minute 30, and Alicia Keys has the longest with 2:35. And since Super Bowl 40, only 2 people have sung the national anthem under a minute 45. So the smart money there would be to go over with Gladys Knight, especially a Motown singer that can really hold out a note like Gladys Knight can.
Right.
So, some of the broadcasting prop bets. These are some of my most favorite ones. Will CBS replay the missed pass interference call on the Rams versus New Orleans? The money favorite is on yes.
Absolutely. I mean, I was just watching the news about a half hour ago, and they were talking about it. And then it shows Roger Goodell at the podium, like, thinking, oh, well, maybe we can do something with instant replay. Like, I don't know about that. I mean, it, off the top of your head, you think, yeah, why not? But then you're thinking, yeah, would that really work?
Right.
You know, challenge penalties or challenge something that isn't called, I feel the game would take 5 hours.
And it just opens up a big can of worms.
Right. So absolutely, because that makes such a huge difference. I mean, think about it. If it's the Saints against the Patriots, it would be Drew Brees against Tom Brady. It'd be a huge – and then, you know, both quarterbacks, one's 41, the other's 39, two of the best offenses of the last decade. It would have been a huge story had it been the Saints and the Patriots. So I think, of course, they're going to be talking about it. Almost annoyingly, they're going to be talking about it, to the point where it's like the Rams are in it. Talk about them now, please.
Probably the very first time that there's a questionable call in the field, you go to that play.
Yep.
The next one, we get into some of the announcer ones. Jim Nantz will say, "Hello, friends," when announcers come on the air. The heavy, heavy favorite is yes.
Yep, absolutely. And then will Tony Romo be able to psychically call every single play of the game?
Yeah, if only he had learned how to do that when he was a quarterback.
Right.
All right, here's one. Over under 2.5, the number of times that Jim Nantz and Tony Romo say Gronk.
Gronk? Oh.
Not Gronkowski or Rob Gronkowski, but Gronk.
Okay, well, that depends on how involved he is, because he wasn't that involved that much against the Chiefs. So this is actually a really, really tough one, because you don't know which Gronk you're going to get.
Right.
What was the over under?
2.5.
2.5?
Yeah.
I'm going to say over.
I think that's probably the smart way to go. The over is a very slight favorite. Because you just kind of assume. I mean, 3 times in 4 quarters, like, have to be.
Well, right? I didn't just picture him just being on – just show a little bit of him on the sideline. They're going to say Gronk.
Right.
Or something. So, yeah, I'm going to go over with that one.
Here's an interesting one in the same thing. Will Jim Nantz or Tony Romo say GOAT? The favorite is actually no. They will not say GOAT, in a reference, obviously, to Tom Brady.
Greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm. Where do you fall on that?
Account, or does it have to be GOAT?
It has to be – it says GOAT. So we'll say it has to be GOAT. Not greatest of all time, but has to be GOAT.
Okay, because I've heard Tony Romo say greatest of all time several times, but not GOAT. So I'm going to say blow.
And this is the thing, because here's the other one that I think – Tony Romo throws the betting off of all this. Jim Nantz or Tony Romo will say Hotlanta. I think Tony Romo is such a dork that he will say almost all of these things. And so it throws the betting lines off of everything, because I can hear Tony Romo saying, "Oh, Jim, you don't know what you're going to get in Hotlanta."
Oh, you know, Tony Romo's been all over the news, getting so much media attention lately. I feel he's going to go even over the top during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
let's think about it. It's the first time he's ever at a Super Bowl.
Right.
Ever. Think about it. So I think he's going to be going nuts, hopefully. I mean, I hope he does. I hope he puts on a show. That'd be hilarious.
All right. Here's a couple, not to get political, but they involve Donald Trump. But actually, I mean, it's completely apolitical, if you want to believe me. Total number of times that Donald Trump tweets during the game, the over-under is actually 1. So does he tweet 1 single time during the game of the Super Bowl?
I didn't do my homework on Trump's history tweeting during the Super Bowl. Does he have a history of tweeting during it? Did he tweet a lot last year?
To be honest, I didn't look. I didn't do my research on this one either.
Well, of course, we all know about his alleged bromance with Tom Brady.
True.
You know, of course, the last time they won the Super Bowl to the White House, maybe he might tweet about that. If the Patriots win, he better come this time. So he might say that. So I'm going to say – or, of course, if something bad happens during the national anthem,
right,
something like that, he's going to – even if it's like a bad singing performance, he might say something. And so I'm going to say at least once in between 1 to 3, I'd say.
And the thing, too, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be about the game. Like, it could just be anything that he happens to, you know, tweet out while the game is going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, any, I mean, he could tweet, you know, to Netflix wondering why Ted Bundy is so hot. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Okay. That I'm going to say 1 to 3.
Yeah. I have to imagine, yes. I mean, just, it seems like he's the Tony Romo of, you know, tweeting presidents. Like, he's a wild card tweet wise. You just don't know. He could tweet 20 times. He might not tweet at all. Here's a couple of interesting ones. And I think this is one actually it's done for every single president. What's going to be higher on the day after the Super Bowl? His rating, his approval rating, or the yardage of the longest field goal made in the Super Bowl? Currently, right now, he is at a 43%, according to Rasmussen. Field goal-wise, the average since 1994 on made field goals is 34 yards. What's your take? Which one is higher, his approval rating or the longest field goal of the game?
Has to be more than 43 yards or at least 43 yards.
Right, because you imagine by Sunday that's not going to fluctuate a ton.
Right. I'm going to go with field goal being longer.
I'd have to agree, too.
You got Patriots. I can see that happening, especially like right before halftime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see that happening. I'm going to go with field goal.
I'm going to go field goal too, and field goal is the slight favorite in that one as well. Couple more to the halftime show. First song performed by Maroon 5. Right now, the favorite is "Moves Like Jagger." At 1,000 to 1 odds, it's "One More Night" and "Girls Like You." You've also got "This Love," "Sugar," "What Lovers Do," "Sunday Morning," a bunch in there. Do you have a favorite Maroon 5 song?
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy. No, I'm the kind of guy where you can tell me the song title and I'll say what, but then you'll play it and I'll know what the song
right.
is. Oh, but I'm not sure. One thing I'll ask you about is, will they put on a better performance than Justin Timberlake last year? Because I don't see that happen.
I don't think so.
Top JT.
Overall, pretty good.
A Maroon 5, "What Lovers Do," I think that one, I don't think they're going to start off with that one. That's not a song I think that you'd start off with. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, for this one, I always pick wrong. I think you got to go something a little bit more upbeat. And so I think
grand entrance.
I think that's why "Moves Like Jagger" is the favorite for this one.
Yeah, that one probably.
Yeah, I could see that or "Sugar," because that one's kind of got like a little fun upbeat thing to get things started with. Will Christina Aguilera make an appearance during the halftime show, since she sang "Moves Like Jagger" with him, and he obviously works with her on The Voice? There's already two other, Big Boi and Travis Scott, are already going to be performing. Do you think Christina Aguilera makes an appearance?
Ooh, geez, I wish you should have told me to bring a quarter. I could just flip the coin. I'm going to go with yes.
Okay, the favorite right now is no.
No?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
All right, I'm going to come at you with these last few ones here, machine gun style. So I want yes or no. I'll kind of give you where the odds fall. Will any player do the Dirty Bird for a TD celebration? Obviously, a tribute to the Atlanta Falcons. No?
Nope.
No is the favorite right now at 250. Will any player do the floss for a TD celebration? Ooh. They came with the kids.
Sure, yes.
Actually, a heavy favorite for no, but I could definitely see the floss being something that happens.
Well, I've been wrong a lot of times.
Right. Well, that's why these prop bets are so much fun, because basically you're just like, you know, shooting in the wind.
Well, if it's a flossing, I think it would definitely be the Rams. If the Rams over the Patriots, I don't see a lot of the Patriots doing the floss.
No, the Patriots don't get to have fun. It's kind of like watching the Russian hockey team.
Belichick would say, what was that?
The one that I always love, and I've never actually followed up to see what's right or not, the color of liquid thrown on the winning coach. So the favorite so the favorite is clear or it's water. Purple is coming off at 1,000 to 1. It's followed closely at the top by green and yellow, green or yellow at 300. Red, orange, and blue follow that.
All right. That just reminds me when McCarthy got his, it was orange, I think.
Mm-hmm. I but, think so.
I'm going to go with red.
Red, solid. Red, solid Gatorade color, I have to say so myself. All right.
You too.
Stuff that is outside of the Super Bowl but still Super Bowl related. Chris, the biggest one. You're picking – well, let's – before we do this one, for the Super Bowl, let's get a pick and a score.
Oh, let me think. Obviously, I'm doing a one-score game because this is a Patriots Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, yeah, personally, I think L.A. has what it takes to beat them, but I don't think that they've been playing up to that level recently, and I question whether or not they're going to have the drive to actually, you know, get it done. So I picked the Patriots to win in a close one. I'm going to go 38-31.
Wow, you're doing a high-scoring game.
I think so. I think it could end up.
Yeah. You know, it's just shocking. You know, the Patriots, sixth in the league in scoring defense, allowing only 17 points a game. You have the Rams, who are second in the league in scoring, scored 527 points. That's actually more than the Rams that won the Super Bowl on the greatest show on turf. That being said, the Rams are only 20th in the league in scoring defense, allowing 24 points a game. So I'm going to have to go with the Patriots, but I'm guessing it's going to be 28-24.
I can respect that. To this
28-24, because I took a look, and the Patriots' 9 Super Bowls that they played in the Brady era, all 5 of their wins have come when they've had a top 10 defense. And when you take a look at the 3 Super Bowls that they lost, still 2 of them were still in the top 10. But the other one, they were out of it, and that was one they lost to the Giants. This year, they're 7th. So I still have to go with the Patriots. I don't see the plus, not to mention that the Rams, their offense has not been lights out this postseason, I feel. I mean,
yeah.
Game against the Cowboys was close. Game against the Saints, of course, was super close. I just don't feel like the Rams, and now they're going up against the Patriots, whose defense I think is better than – the others. So I don't see the Rams really lighting it up. I think it's going to be really, really close.
Yeah. And I think I saw a stat somewhere too, that in playoff games where the Patriots are meeting you for the first time that season, they are 16-1.
Yeah. That
if it's the first time they're meeting you is in the postseason, they beat you and it's at a 16-1 rate. Before we go, Chris, I think the prediction everyone is worried about, the winner of the 14th annual Puppy Bowl. Now, so a couple quick stats. Team Fluff has beaten Team Ruff the past 3 years, and I looked through the roster. It's a new roster for 2019. Tons of new talent. A couple of guys in there that are playing through some injuries. Couple of, I think one guy had a prosthetic leg on there. Lots of Chihuahua, lots of Terrier. That's really where you want to go in this Puppy Bowl. The little smaller dogs, a little bit more active. They're going to be scoring more points.
Does one of the teams have a Corgi?
There was no Corgi. There was no Corgi. It's a lot of Chihuahua. A lot of Terrier. Terrier has been named the MVP 4 times in the Puppy Bowl. So, it's heavy on Terrier.
They need a Corgi. Corgi, if it was a Corgi, I would have picked that team no matter what. Corgis are the GOAT to me. So I'm going to go with the Fluff Dynasty is going to end tonight, and Ruff is going to win it.
Team Ruff. I am also Team Ruff. I think that this is the underdog story of the year. Forget what the Patriots are. These are the underdogs in the Puppy Bowl. I also think I saw like a kangaroo and a penguin are going to be involved in the Puppy Bowl somehow. I don't know how, but I'm so here for everything Puppy Bowl. It's so stupid and I love it. All right. Well, make sure that you're following us throughout the rest of the off season coming up. I'm glad that we got to sit here, Chris, and talk Super Bowl stuff, even though the Packers aren't involved in it. It's the culmination of, you know, the entire season. I wanted to call it the Super Bowl, but like everyone calls something something the Super Bowl of whatever, and this is the Super Bowl. And so it's always a good time. It's kind of like Christmas or Thanksgiving. You can eat whatever you want and nothing counts against you. So hopefully you enjoy it. I know I'll be enjoying it. And hopefully also things thaw out by that time as well. So like we said, as always, thanks for listening to us today. Make sure you're listening to us every single day throughout the rest of the off season. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and everywhere else that you get the podcast at Packaday Podcast. Follow Chris and myself on Twitter. Chris at Chris Schimmel, myself at DK All The Way. Always appreciate it. And even though there's no Super Bowl or game being played on Sunday, we always finish with the best three words. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.
Shotgun formation of 3rd and 15 to the 46-yard line of Dallas. They empty the shotgun. Cobb in motion to the left side. Rodgers looks it over, gets the snap. Backpedals now under some pressure. Steps up, throws it over the middle. Got Adams! 30, turns upfield, 25, cutting right to the 20. 15, 10, 5. Devontae Adams to the south end zone for the touchdown! Rodgers looks it over, starts to his left. Now he moves, starts to the right side. Snap to A-Rod. Looking downfield, being flushed. Rolling left, winds up. Rainbows it high and deep into the end zone. It's high pointed and caught. It is caught for a touchdown.
Yes!
A beautiful pass in the end zone.
Can you believe it?
Unbelievable.
Believe it.
One kick away from the NFC Championship game. From the 41. Left hash mark. 51 yard. Field goal attempt. Snap. Placement. Kick to the uprights. And it is right down the middle. It is good. And the Packers are going to the NFC Championship game.
And what a happy bunch of Green Bay Packers.